She's turning your Bibles to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. And as is our practice to give honor to God and this His holy and infallible word, will stand as we read together Psalm 77. This is a psalm of Asaph. Verse 1. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? And will He never be favorable again? Has His loving kindness ceased forever? Has His promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has He in anger withdrawn His compassion? Selah. Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's pray together. We ask our glorious Lord that you would help us to heed your word and help us, we pray, to learn how to deal with sadness, doubt, depression. Help us, we pray, to learn from this your holy saint, the psalmist Asaph. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. As Christians, some of you may feel a bit ashamed from time to time to talk to others about doubts, fears, or struggles with your faith. After all, you might say, well, what will people in the church think of me if I told them that I had such doubts, if I had such spiritual struggles, or if I wasn't sure about certain essential doctrines of faith? What would the people in the church think of me? Maybe if you talk to people about some of your past sins, and maybe if you talk to people about some of your temptations, other people might want to look and turn the other direction as well. Especially maybe concerning some of the temptations you may have. And I believe because of such fears, people don't ask for or don't seek help like they ought, because they're concerned or maybe overly concerned about what others might say, and therefore they don't seek the help that they need. I'm sorry to say, but even it's easy to have people that put forth a facade or an appearance of things. And I mean, any one of us can do that, but to put on that show, but then at the same time have internal struggles and problems that you really need to be facing. Asaph, the psalmist, he expressed his deepest personal struggles and his deepest doubts in this psalm. And you might say, well, you know, I would never do that. But he did so, and not only did he do so, but he wrote it down, and it was inspired by the Holy Spirit as scripture. He didn't share it with someone, he shared it with everyone, and it's been shared with millions of people who have read this glorious psalm. He shared it with everyone to pick up and read. Though Asaph mentions many struggles in this psalm, we don't know exactly what it is that he's dealing with in Psalm 77, but again, it's doubt against its trouble, against its concerns. But a important summary verse for this entire psalm that I would say gives the flow for the rest of this psalm is verse 1. Look at verse 1. This is an important summary for the whole psalm. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. So this is the summary of the first half of the psalm where he's praying through struggles. And then later on in the psalm, the second half, verse 1 says, my voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the beginning of the psalm, he's praying, he's meditating, he's thinking back on things, but God's not hearing him. In the latter half of the psalm, he prays, he knows God hears him at that point. As we look at this glorious psalm, the main focus is that you are to meditate upon God and his works in times of doubt and trouble. You are to meditate upon God and his works in times of doubt and trouble. We'll see this in three main points. One, life's troubles. Two, believers' doubts. And thirdly, God's help. So let's look at this first main point, life's troubles, verses 2 and 3. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. Selah. I believe when he's talking about his hand stretched out, his hand is stretched out to God in prayer. That is a rather Jewish thing, and sometimes we do have passages in Scripture where people pray with hands lifted, and I believe that's what is mentioned here. But I want us to look at some of Asaph's troubles. He was crying aloud to God in the midst of his trouble. Although he sought God earnestly without ceasing, his soul refused to be comforted. Now, if you think about somebody who's devout, if they remember God, shouldn't that give comfort and peace? But at this time in Asaph's life, he remembers God, and it gives him the opposite. He remembers God instead of peace. He says, when I remember God, I am disturbed. The Hebrew here could be translated, I moan, I cry, or cry out. Other troubles that Asaph had is that his spiritual trouble led to insomnia, a lack of sleep. Look at verse 4. He's praying to God, and he says to God, you have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Now, if you've ever had the dealings of insomnia, you know what it's like. You're looking at the ceiling, you tossing and turning. The night seems to go on forever and ever, and then finally when morning comes and when you really get in some good sleep, then you got to get up and do what you got to do, right? And that's kind of a trouble, isn't it? Well, next time you can't sleep, maybe consider the causes. Well, is it because as you're getting older, you're getting insomnia? Or is it because you had too much caffeine late at night? Or is it because you drank too much and you have to keep going to the bathroom? Or is it things like that? However, it's not just physiological. Consider this. If you have insomnia, Maybe it's God that brought it upon you for a particular reason, especially if something's on your mind or on your heart. If you're troubled about something, maybe that's something God wants to change. If you're concerned about someone, maybe God is convicting you to do something for someone or to pray for someone. There are many reasons, and maybe that's one of the things we have to read the Word about. We have to think about. Maybe we should ask questions of others and ourselves. And maybe that insomnia is given there by God. Maybe it's God holding your eyelids open for a reason, like he did for Asaph. When Asaph has this insomnia, he then prays and he meditates. But during this time, he does finally get the answer. So the insomnia was of a benefit to him because it led him to the answer. And we'll find that answer shortly. Getting back to Asaph, it says if this sleeplessness is not bad enough, in verse 4, he says, I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've heard of cases of depression where people get into a catatonic state where they can't speak or talk or move or something. I'm not saying it's as bad as that here, but there are cases where people get so depressed they can't speak. And I believe that this was a debilitating depression that he's dealing with, but in the midst of his depression, he's praying and he's seeking God in the midst of it. Very interesting. He's so depressed, he's so sad, he's so grief-stricken, he can't talk to others, but he can talk to God. And he does. What about your struggles in this life? We looked at Asaph's, but what about your struggles? If we're honest, each of us have different or similar struggles from time to time that weigh us down. And one of Job's counselors in Job chapter 5, 7, Eliphaz, was a man who said things that were both some of it true and some of it in error. But one of the things he said that was absolutely true in Job 5, 7, he says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. I used to love playing with fire. When I was a kid, I was a pyromaniac. And I loved watching fire at night. And you see these intense fires go on. And we actually burned a humongous pile of debris back here near the church. And we had sparks flying up at least 60 feet. I'm telling you, I was concerned because the sparks were flying up, almost touching that one of those trees that were overhanging in that area. God says that our life can be like that. Those sparks popping and cracking and flying upward. That's what life is. Life, because of the fall of mankind, it's full of trouble. Health trouble, financial trouble, personal trouble, family trouble, relationship trouble, you name it. We're born to trouble as the sparks fly upward because of the fall of man. In Psalm 77, Asaph did not give the source of his immense sorrow, but I believe the Holy Spirit directed him not to put down the source of this sorrow for a reason, because that way you can apply this psalm for yourself. You can take the language of this psalm and maybe instead of using God in the third person, you could use him, you could speak directly to him. Let me give you an example. Look at verses 2 and 4. You can pray the psalm like this. I pray to you, my God, yet my soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember you, O God, then I am disturbed in my spirit, and my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids open. You gave me this insomnia. I'm so troubled that I can't speak, O Lord, but help me. Even if the words can't come out of your mouth, God can hear you when you pray. If you pray within your mind and in your heart unto God, you can use these words. Now, hopefully, this psalm will help you to be more direct and honest in bringing your petitions before God. And in so doing, one of the things that you could bring before God is not only your troubles, but also your doubts. Look at verses 5 through 9. Actually, we'll look at verses... we'll do 5 through 9. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever, and will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. That's terrible doubts he has here in this text. So in the midst of suffering, he's trying many things with a sincere heart of devotion. He's trying, look at verses 1 and 2, he's trying to pray. He's remembering his song of praises that he gave unto the Lord in verse 6. He's meditating upon God, but as we just read, his meditations upon God are not producing good thoughts. It's producing ill thoughts concerning God and his character, that God is not gracious any longer, that God has changed. Now, think of the things that he's writing here in verses 7 through 10. If you heard a Christian say things like this, you'd probably look at him and say, man, you're not a believer. You're really not. Look at, how could you say that about God? Well, Christians do and have spiritual doubts, but keep in mind, they don't stay there. This psalm can help us to be more gracious with those who suffer from fears, doubts, and depression. We do even believe that despite these terrible doubts that Asaph had, he was a man led by God, led by the Holy Spirit, and enabled to write this psalm and other psalms as well. He was used of God, he was loved of God, and God loved him because his Holy Spirit was given to him. What about the other godly men that we find in Scripture that had similar doubts? Besides Asaph, what about Elijah? Elijah, a man of God, used to do mighty works, miraculous works. You remember when he faced off with the prophets or the priests of Baal? He had done a miraculous work. God brought down fire from heaven. And you think that that would be enough to give that man a confidence to endure. But later on, when he finds out that Jezebel is seeking after his life, he goes hiding in the cave and he's in despair. And he says in 1 Kings 19, I alone am left and they seek my life to take it away. He's given up hope. And God's coming to talk to him in the cave. And that's what he says unto the Lord. So if you've ever questioned God and you still question maybe God and his faithfulness and the struggles that you have, of course we don't understand them now, but one day God will bring it to light why we suffered these things. But if you do have such questions concerning God and his faithfulness, join other saints like Asaph, join Elijah and others who had doubts. And even mature men and women, mature men and women of Christ, even in modern times, even after the cross, still suffer with some serious depression and problems like that. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was one such man. He suffered from gout, but he also suffered from severe depression at times. In one of his sermons, he wrote this, my spirits were sunken so low that I could weep by the hour like a child, and yet I knew not what I wept for. So he's weeping and weeping and weeping. And then he says later on, I realized God gave me the answer why I go down in sorrow. He says this, I would go into the depths 100 times to cheer a downcast spirit or person. It is good for me to have been afflicted, that I might know how to speak a word in season to one that is weary. Maybe God gives you trouble and depression and doubts and sorrows so that when you come out of those things that you can help others. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Sometimes if you work in the medical field and you see death and dying so often, you can get a little callous to it. And sometimes I think maybe the medical schools teach you to be a little clinically detached. But I don't think God wants us to be that way in the church. We can't have that sort of detachment. We have to weep with those who weep. We have to rejoice with those who rejoice, like Spurgeon did. To be the kind of person who can go down in the depths with a downcast spirit. Now, maybe you, like Asaph, have had troubles, or if you haven't, you're going to have troubles, because trouble comes to everyone. How do you get out of those doubts? How do you deal with those troubles and depression? Our sermon leads now to the answer, God's help. Look again at verse 1. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and He will hear me. Notice first that Asaph prayed in the midst of his trouble. Verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. He was so sad he couldn't speak, but he continued to pray, and his hand continued to be stretched out in prayer to God. So even if you're weary, even if you're doubting, even if you're troubled, even if you're sorrow, continue to pray. Some Christians, even when they go through trouble, they don't seem to pray very often, even in times of trouble. If we have access to the throne of grace, why not use it? Asaph diligently laid hold to his privileged position as the son of God, God Most High. Notice how Asaph prayed with diligence. He sought the Lord not only during the day, he sought the Lord, verse 2, in the night. My hand was stretched out without wearying. He persevered in prayer even throughout doubt and trouble, and he pressed on. So should you. Asaph was troubled so he could not speak, yet he continued to speak to God. Asaph also mixed his prayer with meditation. Now, as we read earlier, some of his meditation didn't come with good thoughts, did it? It came with thoughts of questioning God and His authority and His person and His grace and His love, and His persevering love. He questioned all those things, but as he continued to meditate, his doubts turned into an answer. By the way, before we go to the answer, when you think of meditating, don't just only think of strange things that come to mind, of like the Dalai Lama or some Hinduism or something of that sort. Yes, there are religions that promote meditation in such a strange fashion, and some religions promote meditating upon a void. Well, you don't want to meditate upon a void. You want to meditate upon those things that are true and worthy and noble, things that have come from Scripture, things that God has given and revealed to us in His holy word. And I believe this is a lost art, but we need to renew it. We need to think and ponder and meditate upon God and His promises and upon His word. And that meditation can help you, like it did Asaph. He meditated, he continued meditating, and God gave him an answer when he remembered the wonderful things, starting in verse 11. Verse 11, as he continued to meditate, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. He started meditating upon what God had done. I will meditate on all your work and muse, that means ponder, think hard upon your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. In the water saw you, O God. The water saw you, and they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters. Your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So when he's sorrowing, he's remembering God's wonderful works. But you know the glorious thing about being a Christian on this side of the cross? We have a lot more to meditate on. We have a lot more glorious works to meditate on. We have a lot more to remember, a lot more things that were only known in types and shadows to Asaph. But you still remember the Exodus, don't you? Remember God's wonderful work in delivering his people from slavery in Egypt. But as you look upon that great event, remember that this was just a type and shadow of a greater deliverer. We had Moses and Aaron shepherding God's people like a flock. But it points to a greater shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus our Lord, who led us not only out of some physical slavery, but he freed us from slavery to sin and bondage to the devil to deliver us to himself, to purchase us. What a glorious God. Remember, when you're dealing with troubles, meditate upon God and his wonderful works. Pray with diligence. Pray in the midst of sorrow and grief and doubt. Be upfront and honest with your dealings with God. Speak your mind. Tell him, just like Asaph did, what you're doubting, what you're fearing, what you're concerned with. Meditate upon God and his holy word and his person and works, his mighty works, not only in the Old Testament, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he will deliver you, and he will help you. Let's pray together. We thank you for this glorious psalm, and we thank you for the answers that you gave to your servant Asaph. We pray that you would help us as well to be diligent in prayer, even in the midst of sorrow and suffering and doubt. Help us to continue to pray. Help us to remember your works of old, your mighty works of how you delivered your people Israel. But help us to remember the wonderful works of Christ and how you delivered us from sin. And we thank you, O Father, that you who did not withhold your only begotten Son, but gave him up for us all, how will you not also give us all things necessary? So help us, we pray, to be those who seek your face rather than wallowing in sorrow. Give us faith and help us to meditate upon these wonderful truths, and give us remembrance of you and your works, and help us to grow to be a holy people. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. For our closing hymn, let's turn to our hymn of dedication, 256, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. We'll stand and sing 256.